Blog Talk Radio.
We are go for liftoff in T minus 30.
Hit the record button.
By now, everybody has seen this day coming, right? And I hope that Spencer's on the line because he's on the freeway, guys. He's on location. Right?
Hello?
Hello? Can you hear me?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Yeah, okay, great. Yeah. Good, great, yeah.
So I was just telling people that you're on the freeway as we speak.
Oh, yeah, the 405 is the worst. Oh. I've been on it for like almost an hour now to go 8 miles.
Oh, my gosh.
And I left at the same time I usually do, and usually I get here, I usually have been parked already, like as of 20 minutes ago, but that's not the case today.
Yeah. Well, let's make this quick then, because I don't want you to get in trouble with the law. Sorry, what was that?
Oh, I was going to say, I've got plenty of time to chat, and also I'm hands-free, so it's all good.
All right, cool. Yeah, you want to be safe, right? We're going to talk about, it's only four movies. I thought the first time was when we were like so hurried and busy. I thought we only covered four, but then I heard it, and I'm like, oh, no, we covered five. Okay, cool.
Oh, yeah.
So That's great. We're done. We're done with the five. I won't talk about them anymore, because we have now part two, and I have them all lined up. So let's just dive right in. And since you're on the freeway and there's a lot of cars, and you can't really go faster than the speed limit, let's talk about Ford and Ferrari versus Ferrari.
Yeah, okay. That's a great
I'm sure you see a lot of those right now.
That's funny.
I always try to find a segue too. Yeah.
So Ford v Ferrari, which I guess has a different title in the UK, but I guess they thought that Le Mans 66 wouldn't sell, which is probably true because Americans overall don't really know what that is. I really liked the movie. I really enjoyed it. I thought it was just a little too long. A lot of exposition and a lot of buildup. It was great. The performances were great. The production design, the cinematography, everything was great. I was going to say even the editing, but I think the editing maybe could have had just a little bit more taken out of it. But
okay.
It was a good movie. I liked it.
Yeah, I mean, I wasn't excited to see it, so honestly, I don't even care to see it, you know, by the time the Oscars come about this weekend, so I'm really not looking forward to it. Maybe it's because, I don't know. I can wait until it comes on Netflix or whatever. But yeah, I mean, what do you think about the performances, like Matt Damon or Christian Bale?
Yeah, I think Christian Bale is always fantastic. He's got a little bit of a weird, he's like kind of like got like a Joaquin Phoenix feel in the sense that like in the industry, he gets a little crazy sometimes.
Okay.
And so people think he's sometimes hard to work with.
Well,
but he's very
good
at what he does. Damon's good. I don't think he was given enough in that role to really have a standout or like a powerhouse performance. But I don't think anyone was actually nominated for performances for this movie, which was kind of surprising in a way, because I think Christian Bale really deserved it. But again, there were so many great performances this year, even if there are a lot of movies that I felt weren't quite up to the caliber of the performances, there are a lot of movies that the performances were so strong. And Ford v. Ferrari is one of those where the performances are so good, but there are just so many that it's hard for the Academy to pick only five in each category.
Right,
so,
right.
I think Christian Bale was great. Tracy Letts was great. And I think it was Tracy Letts that was the guy that runs the company. Maybe not. I think it was, though. Tracy Letts. Tracy Letts. He was great. The person who played Christian Bale's wife in the movie, she was great. I thought the performances were really good, and I thought it was a fun movie to watch and look at. There wasn't as much substance as I guess I had hoped in it, and it's not a very uplifting movie either. It ends on a pretty depressing note. So I'll just leave it at that.
Okay. Yeah, because I haven't seen it, and that's one of those movies that I'm like, I can really skip it. Unlike Jojo Rabbit and the other one, Parasite, I do want to see those two movies before this weekend if I can, hopefully, because I know that one of them is going to be, I hope that Jojo Rabbit wins, just to be, just to have a prediction out there, hopefully. I mean, I haven't even seen it, and I know that Marriage Story will not win for Best Picture, so I think that's my prediction for now, but we'll know,
sure.
Right? Or 1917, I think it was great. People have been telling me that's going to be the Oscar, the best Oscar or best picture of the year. Who knows? We'll see.
Right.
But yeah.
You never know. That's the crazy thing. I mean, Crash beat out Brokeback Mountain the year that everyone thought Brokeback Mountain was going to win.
Right.
And people were like, what is Crash? Why did I get nominated in that one? And, you know, Extremely Loud and Incredibly Close had been nominated for Best Picture, even though it got terrible reviews. So you just never know with the Academy what they're going to do.
Yeah, it's unpredictable. I want to have a little section at the end. Hopefully you have time, but I'm going to talk about the Oscar snubs this year, because there's a bunch of the movies that... we'll talk about it later. Yeah.
Sure.
But I'm like, that should have been... nominated. Anyways, let's just move on to Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Okay, so
Quentin Tarantino.
The Tarantino is his ninth film, so he's got one more after this in theory, and then he's done, is what he says. There's a lot I can say about this movie. A lot of great stuff, a lot of stuff I wasn't a fan of, there's a lot. I'll start with what I really liked about this movie. I really liked I like Tarantino's style, the stylized aspect of it all, in telling a story about Hollywood, which is surprisingly, to me, it doesn't seem like it's told as much as it could be, for the fact that people make movies in Hollywood every day, and they don't tell stories about Hollywood. So that's what I think is really fascinating, especially a lot of like the behind the scenes with this guy playing stunt driver. Brad Pitt's incredible. Leonardo DiCaprio is incredible in this movie. Again, performances top notch, directing great. For me, the biggest thing I had is I didn't love it. And I was not sure why I didn't love it. I was really hoping I would love this, because Tarantino's hit and miss for me. I mean, I think my favorite's Inglourious Basterds. A lot of people don't think it's his best. But this one just kind of sat, towards the middle for me. It wasn't as exciting as I had hoped. I also think it's a little long, but I think most of Tarantino's movies are long because they're more than 2.5 hours, most of them.
Did it feel long to you? Because to me, and I've only seen the first hour, I think it was. I was watching it and I fell asleep, so I didn't really finish it. but I thought it was really slow to begin with. The beginning was very slow to me.
I don't think it actually gets any faster as far as pace.
Oh.
I think it almost sometimes gets a little slower, actually.
Mm.
Because the one great thing about Tarantino is character development. Like, there's a lot of story to be told. And I think what's great about it is he likes to put all the story in there, which is great. However, sometimes there's just so much story that it needs to be two movies. Like, for instance, Kill Bill Volume 1 and 2. There's so much content in that movie that having it split into two parts helps me at least understand everything.
Kill Bill Volume 2 was the best.
Yeah, and there's almost two stories going on. You've got the stunt driver, you know, for Rick Dalton, and you've got the Manson murders. They're being paralleled in this movie.
Right.
In a sense, not paralleled, I guess, but they're both in the story, but they both are so full of rich depth, and then one's full of history, that taking them and putting them as two separate movies, I think, would have been like doing like Once Upon a Time in Hollywood Part 1 and Part 2, but one is focused on Rick Dalton and his stunt driver and his stunt double, and the other one is focused on the Manson murders. But it can be both the same movie or whatever. There's a lot of information. I think it was a lot conceptually to grasp for me, just to follow along the journey, because I was going in and out of both stories or trying to pick up on pieces that I missed or like, wait, I want to hear this. And there was a glaring error in the movie that people thought I just misheard, and I'm pretty sure it was just a big glaring error. So I was just trying to figure everything out. And so for me, that big glaring error, which I don't want to say because it'll give out a lot, kind of was like, it kind of almost counterproductive to the entire movie. And I was like, did I hear this correctly? Because now the plot makes no sense. And people told me I misunderstood or I misheard or I should have implied something. And I was like, I don't think that implication is the thing here. I think what that person just said completely contradicts this entire movie. And so for me, I was like, maybe I did misunderstand or maybe I misheard, but I was like, I'm pretty sure what that character just said was XYZ and the whole movie is about ABC. So it was, and that was like 2 hours or 2 hours and 15 minutes into the movie. So it was towards the end of the movie. And I was like, wait a second. I was like, is this serious? So it was just, it was very interesting. But I liked the movie and I know a lot of people who worked on it and they're all great people. And you know, I think it deserves the awards it deserves because of what it's trying to tell. But for me personally, in the Tarantino canon, it wasn't my favorite.
Okay. Because, it's been nominated for 10 awards, including Best Picture, Best Director, Best Actor, DiCaprio, Supporting Actor, Brad Pitt. I don't know. I don't think it'll win for the acting, like you said, especially with, having Phoenix being on the race of the best actors.
I think Brad Pitt might get supporting. I think this is his year, and I think that he's been kind of winning a lot of the precursors. But that category is a little bit if you got like the Irishman, you got the two popes. I mean, that category is a little – it's stacked with talent.
Yeah.
But I think overall it's just a lot of times people in that category this year got in because of names versus actual performances, I think.
Right.
Because there were great performances that got overlooked in that category. But – I think Brad Pitt's the front-runner for that category. And it's good because he's got a great body of work, and I think that, you know, he should get an Oscar at some point. So this year's the year to do it. And his performance was great in that movie. He really, I think, carried the movie.
Well, he looks great. Let's just say that.
Yeah.
He should win best-looking actor in his, 50s now? that should be the word for him.
Yeah, pushing 50 or something, for sure. He doesn't look a day over 35. He looks as he did in 12 Monkeys.
Oh, you think? Yeah, I guess so. Well, 12 Monkeys, he was very demented, and he looked kind of weird. His eye was all twitchy. But no, he looks still great in whatever performance he's in. But best supporting actor, I think I'm I'm leaning towards Alan Alda myself. That's because I've seen Marriage Story, but I haven't seen the other nominations or the other actors, so I'm just being biased
sure.
right now. I only seen three movies, so come on.
Yeah.
I don't have the best, you know. But actually, speaking of the two popes, which I saw, and actually I was disappointed that Jonathan Pryce was not best supporting nominee this year. Because I thought Anthony Hopkins was great, but Jonathan Pryce was even, you know, to me more impressive because he.
I thought Jonathan Pryce got nominated. Or was it Anthony Hopkins?
He did.
One of them got nominated.
I think. Hold on. That you know, I might miss me. Hold on a second. Let me see who was nominated for. Who? Yeah. Let me. I'll search on that. But anyways. Once upon a time, we're done with that. Are you still on the freeway? How's your commute?
Anytime soon. I don't think I've moved more than a half a mile.
Oh, good. Okay. Sorry. I didn't mean that.
Oh, no. It's all good. I was supposed to have a class in mind, and I told him, I was like, I don't know when I'm going to be off the freeway, so I'll see you when I'm there.
Oh, God.
So, next movie on
my list. Which I want to see this one, Parasite.
Yeah, Parasite's great. It's fantastic. It's made Oscar history because it's the first movie from South Korea ever to be nominated for an Oscar in any category, even including the foreign language or international feature category. So that's kind of a really impressive feat on its own. The director has a lot of movies, and I've seen a couple of them. I've seen The Host, which I really loved. I've seen Snowpiercer, which was almost too weird an aesthetic for me. Some people love it. I didn't care for it. But I really love Parasite. It might be my favorite one that I've seen of his so far. I don't want to give much away because if I say anything, it kind of ruins a little bit of the movie. But it just gets crazier and crazier as it goes. And a lot of it I just wasn't expecting. And I went in pretty blind. I just kind of read a synopsis, like a very small synopsis on IMDb. And I was like, all right, I didn't watch the trailers. I didn't want to know anything going in because people were like, it's so weird. It's so crazy. And I was like, this doesn't sound that weird, but it gets real weird. But it's really, it's real good. It's over 2 hours, but the pacing feels great. Like it didn't feel like it was rushed. It didn't feel too slow. It was great. And I actually thought the performances were great from the actors, and I'm actually kind of bummed that none of them got nominated for an acting award for performance. But I really liked it, and I think it is my favorite international feature of the year, with a close second being the movie Climax by Gaspar Noé, which is interesting because I didn't think I would like that at all. But anyway, but that didn't get nominated, so Parasite is my
Which one was that? Sorry, I missed the title you said earlier.
Oh yeah, no. Climax is the other movie that I really liked this year. That was an international movie, a French movie,
okay.
A very aesthetic movie. I liked it a lot. It didn't get any nominations, which doesn't surprise me. But Parasite is my choice for foreign or international feature of the year, as of now.
Hmm.
So, that's what I'm rooting for international feature.
Well, international feature, I think, let me see, Les Miserables, Honeyland, Corpus Christi, I haven't seen, Pain and Glory from Spain. Oh, I want to see Pain and Glory, I want to see because of Almodovar. Parasite because, you know.
Yeah, and I saw Honeyland and Pain and Glory. Both were good, but Parasite I thought was far superior to both of them.
No.
And I need to see the
I trust you. I trust your judgment there. I haven't seen them, so sounds like it is gonna be. Well, if not for Best Picture, it will probably be Best International Film, I guess.
I think it's a shoo-in a lock for Parasite for foreign or international feature. I think it's a lock. I don't think it's gonna. I would be shocked if it lost that.
Well, yeah, let's hope we're shocked. We're shocked because, the awards can be a little, one-sided or they tend to go with the, not the international fair. So let's see what happens. And
yeah,
last but not least, we have Little Women.
We sure do. So when this first came out, I had no desire to see it at all. I don't like this. I'm not a big fan of the story itself. I tried to read it when I was in elementary school or middle school, and it just wasn't interesting to me. And then I went to see the movie. Everyone's like, it's so good. You have to see it, and, you know, yada, yada, yada. And I enjoyed it. I didn't mind it. I enjoyed it. I thought, again, across the board, performances were great. Cinematography, costumes, production design, all of that. Direction was fine. There were just two glaring errors for me that really kind of threw me out of the movie a couple times here and there. One is that different people had different accents, even though they all lived in the same place. It was a little off-putting because I heard, like, some British. I heard some, like, trying to be American. Some people were actually American. Some people were American trying to sound British. And I was like, where? And they're like in Cambridge, Massachusetts. So, like, I was like, I don't know why everyone has a British accent. I don't understand. But that wasn't as bad as me. There were moments of flashbacks. So they tell it out of order, the story. It's not chronological. But they have the same actors playing present time in the flashbacks. But they don't really age them at all. So when they're in the flashbacks, I'm thinking it's in the present. And then they go to the present and they're like, oh, yeah, this happened. And this. I'm like, wait, I thought we were in the flashback still. So I got confused sometimes because I wasn't sure when they were switching to the other time frame. And so I think that there are a couple of little, you know, I thought everything across the board was pretty solid, but I think there were a couple of little directing elements that weren't quite solidified or weren't quite as specific as they could be or as clear as they could be for me to really, like, be overwhelmed with how wonderful the movie is. Had those issues not been there, I think I would have loved it a lot more. I liked it a lot. I really did. I thought I was not going to like it at all. So I went in with very low expectations. Yeah. And I came out, I enjoyed it. You know, the time flew by. I laughed a couple times. I felt for the characters. Like, it was really well done. I just think that had I not been as confused, I would have really, like, it would have probably been, like, one of my favorite movies of the year.
Okay.
But
so I guess the editing was an issue for you, the editing part, where it wasn't clear.
Yeah.
Where they go back and forth.
Loved it, but you know, it didn't happen a lot, but it happened a couple times where I was like, wait, oh, you're 13 now, but you're like 35 in this, and they look the same, and it's like, huh? So.
Oh. Okay.
Apparently, some people are like, oh. You know, if you know the story and blah, 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 blah. I'm like, well, that's the thing is I shouldn't have to know every single detail about the story before I go see this movie. It should be adapted to an audience that can see this for the first time and fall in love with it. You know what I mean? Like, it shouldn't be something like where it's like, oh, I only know, like, it's like I'm in on an inside joke. I only know the joke because I've read the book. It's like, yeah, it's an adaptation of the book, and that's great, and you can have those Easter eggs for people who have read the book. But I should still be able to understand the story in its entirety without having read the book. Or having another adaptation.
I see what you're saying.
But,
right.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, I mean, it's not like I couldn't follow the movie. I just kind of gave up on figuring out what was in the present and what was in the past. I was like, all right, I guess this happened or this is happening, whatever. So I kind of just, once I just kind of gave up on figuring it out, then I enjoyed it a lot more.
Right. And what do you think of Ronan for best actor, best actress?
She's good. I think I think that her best role to date so far for me has been Brooklyn. Her role in Brooklyn, I thought she should have won the Oscar for that. That was a perfect role for her, and then she didn't quite get it because Brie Larson got it, and Brie Larson was fantastic in Room, so, you know, I wasn't disappointed that Brie Larson
Room, yes.
But I think she was very good in it. I think that, it's just the cast, that cast is so good. And what I love is that there are so many strong, powerful women performers in that movie that it's unfortunate that they're like, we can only have one person nominated because Saoirse Ronan was great.
Right.
Emma Watson was great. Laura Dern was great. I mean, Florence Pugh was great. I don't know the actress who plays Beth, but I love the person who played Beth. I mean, Meryl Streep was, Meryl Streep. She's always great. But there were so many female performances or women performers that were so good. And it's like the movie's called Little Women, and that's great. There are so many great performances, and I'm just kind of mad that the Academy decides they want to just pick one for each. Like, why can't there be more than one for the same movie? They did that for The Irishman. They did Al Pacino, The Irishman. Legendary actors, great, whatever. I mean, it's like, why can't people from Little Women be nominated for supporting actress or lead actress or whatever? I thought the performances were so great, and it's hard to choose between them, really, for me. They were all so different. But the person who played Beth, I thought was, I don't remember her name, but she was great. She's more of a breakthrough, newer performer, but I thought she was fantastic. And I thought Laura Dern was great in this movie. I actually almost preferred her in this to Marriage Story.
Oh, really?
But the performances really engaged me throughout the movie. And, of course, costume design and production is out of this world. But
sorry, what's the name of the character you were saying that you don't remember her name?
Beth is the character.
Beth. Okay, that will be played by Elisa Scanlon.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. Yep.
Just so you know.
Scanlon, that was
I have never seen her before. So she's from Australia, by the way.
She's like 20 or 21 or something, or 19. But she's only done a couple of like smaller movies, and I think like she was on a TV show that I haven't seen. So
yeah.
She's more of like, this is like one of her breakthrough roles, I guess. I thought she was great. But again, she's a little bit more unknown, so that's why the Oscars didn't want to take a chance on her.
Right, just 21. But yeah, never seen her, but it would have been nice to at least nominate her so that she can be later on like recognized, like, oh, yeah, she was nominated for this and that, and you know how Hollywood is, so if you're a nominee, that's already an added bonus to your repertoire and your curriculum, your resume. Looks good on your resume.
Yep.
All right, so we covered them all, and it's only been, it hasn't been that long. You're still on the freeway, so.
Do you want to know what I think will win Best Picture, or what I think should win Best Picture?
Yeah, please. Yes, no.
So what I would like to win Best Picture, personally, is Jojo Rabbit. I think, or Marriage Story. I could pick either. What I think will win, I think I have a hierarchy of three movies. I think Once Upon a Time in Hollywood is going to win. It won the Golden Globe for a comedy, and it's about Hollywood. So why would it not? But if that doesn't win, I think 1917 is the outlier or the dark horse here. Not even the dark horse, I would say, because Sam Mendes won for directing at the Globes, and it won Best Drama, 1917. So I think that kind of came out right at the last minute, kind of swooped up a couple of awards, and is now one of the higher contenders. As far as – I said outlier dark horse for that, but I think the real outlier dark horse is actually Parasite.
Because
it's really, really loved. It won the SAG Award, I think, for Best Ensemble. And so it's like this interesting – weird thing where I don't think a single foreign language movie has ever won the Oscar for Best Picture. And Life is Beautiful was very close. That was a great movie. Great movie.
Yeah.
Roma last year, I think it was last year, didn't win. People Were Devastated didn't win, but they both won Best Foreign Language Film. I think Parasite's going to win Best International Feature, which is the new category this year. They've adjusted it from foreign language to international. And so I think that's also kind of a sign there. But Bong Joon-ho was nominated for Best Director. I think it got a screenplay nomination. I mean, it's got a lot of big editing, I mean, it's got some big categories that it was nominated for, which is also sometimes a sign for a smaller movie like this.
Yeah.
But that's what I think is my hierarchy, is Once Upon a Time in Hollywood being the first choice, because they haven't given Tarantino anything yet as far as director. I think he's won a couple of screenplays, but never picture and never director, so this might be the movie they do that for. Second place would be 1917, and third place would be Parasite. And people are talking about, Joker, da, 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 da. I don't think Joker has a chance of winning Best Picture. I think maybe some of the other technical stuff. It might maybe cinematography or makeup and hairstyling, but I don't think it's winning any of the big awards besides Best Actor.
Yeah. Well, my pick. So my pick for Best Movie of the Year will be, let me see. I'm looking at the nine. I'm looking at the nine, posters here. I think it should be Jojo Rabbit, just because it's outlandish, it's a comedy, just because it's unique. I don't think it's ever been done. And then again, my second pick, Marriage Story. Obviously, that was my favorite that I saw. I saw that one.
Sure.
So that would be my second pick. And Parasite, I hope it wins. I don't think it will. But, okay, so my prediction for who's going to win is 1917 for sure. And I'm saying that because of the history of the Academy Awards, they usually go for the veterans.
Sure.
Either veterans or people with disabilities or, who's been disfigured the most and... I don't know. They're weird like that. So, and Joker, I don't think it's going to win. I don't know.
Yeah, it's interesting that you say disabilities, because I've had this conversation where there's been more actors that have won an Oscar for portraying a disability than actors who have disabilities have actually been nominated or won. And I found out yesterday only two actors with disabilities have ever won an Oscar, one back in the 1940s and one in the 1980s. And other than that, there's been numerous actors, even after the 80s, that have been nominated and won for portraying a disability that didn't have a disability. So I actually think it's very interesting, because I think that the war thing is one thing, but I think the Academy is sometimes self-indulgent. So I think it's a little hard for them to not give an award to something like Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, which they ended up not awarding La La Land, and, Moonlight won over La La Land, but it became this whole thing where, they opened up the wrong envelope and they said the wrong thing and all this, and it could have ended all very well, could have been planned, because they didn't want to say no thank you to the movie that was about them. Like the artist won, back in 2011.
The artist. I haven't seen The Artist. To be honest, it's been so long that I should have seen it by now.
Yeah, it's fine. It's a good movie. I wouldn't say it's a great movie.
It's fine.
But it's good. But yeah.
And by the way, I want to make a correction. Jonathan Pryce is nominated for leading role as an actor. So he's... he's competing with Best Actor with Joaquin Phoenix, Antonio Banderas, Leonardo DiCaprio, and Adam Driver. Out of those, of course, Joaquin Phoenix is my pick for Best Picture, for Best Actor, I mean.
Yeah.
I think you agree with this. Sorry, you were cutting off.
No, I was going to say, The Two Popes isn't going to win anything. It just isn't getting enough buzz that people are going to go out and watch it before they vote for the awards.
Yeah. So, and then my pick for leading actress is Renee Zellweger. She hasn't been, I don't know if she's been nominated for, or she's been, I don't know if she's been nominated for Chicago before.
She was nominated for Chicago and for Bridget Jones's Diary. But she won for Cold Mountain.
Oh, she did? Okay. But yeah,
she won supporting
actress
in Mountain in the early 2000s.
Oh, okay.
So this
well,
one.
Well, actually, I'm torn between torn between Renee and Scarlett Johansson. But
I think this is Renee's for sure.
Okay, Renee. Yeah, yeah, I agree.
I think she has nothing but herself to lose with that one.
Right.
And I think this is the thing is I think we talked about this, you really liked Judy. I didn't love it, but I loved Renee Zellweger. I thought her performance was incredible.
I was crying.
Like watching Garden.
If I cry, that means it was good. It's like my eyes don't lie. I was really going for her.
I've only cried in a couple of movies myself. So.
Yeah.
But yeah, I thought the movie was fine, but her performance is worth a watch of that movie for sure, for her performance.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. Exactly. And now we have time. Do we have any more time, or are you almost out of the freeway?
Oh, I'm off the freeway now. I just got off.
Well, hopefully you're not late for your class.
I'm already late.
Okay, cool.
So I've got a couple of minutes.
All right.
I've got time.
A couple of minutes. Let me know when you're parked, and then we can end this. But, yeah, so let's talk about some of the Oscar snubs this year. Which movie do you think should have been nominated for Best Picture?
Oh, boy. I mean, if I had my way, I would have nominated Wonder Park for Best Picture. I love that movie. It didn't get very good reviews or anything. But, I mean, there are some other movies. I'm trying to think of, like, what I really liked. Like, Queen and Slim I thought was great, and that completely got, like, shut out of everything.
Yeah.
Really like that. Dark Waters I thought was great. That got shut out of everything.
Man,
I'm trying to think of what else.
Well, what about I Lost My Body?
Oh, yeah, I Lost My Body was great, too. I really liked that a lot.
I'm like,
Wonder Park was my favorite animated movie. But
well, yeah, it hasn't been nominated, so that's, yeah, sorry about that.
Yeah.
Toy Story 4, I think Toy Story 3 was better than Toy Story 4. So I don't think that was the best animated this year. And Missing Link, even though it's an amazing accomplishment as far as, you know, stop motion picture. I think the best movie in the animated part is I Lost My Body, because it was just amazing. I was like, I didn't expect anything from it. And so when I ended the movie, I was like, this is amazing, this movie. Wow.
Yeah, I am. Also, going off of that, I really liked I Lost My Body. Missing Link, however, I've seen all of the Laika, like, big releases, and it was one of my least favorites of Laika. So I thought it was very interesting that it won the Globe, and that it's like, one of the ones that was nominated for an Oscar, because, like, Paranorman I loved more. I loved Kubo and Two Strings more. And I just thought it was interesting that everyone's really loving Missing Link, which I wasn't a big fan of, really.
Yeah, I wasn't impressed. I wasn't impressed, not because of the visual effects, but I wasn't impressed with the script or with the whole, I don't know. I didn't get into it. And I don't think I finished
it.
I started watching it, and I'm like, okay, I'm not interested. I don't even want to see the end. was just not hitting the comedy. The comedy wasn't really, I don't think they were hitting it right. Anyways, that's my opinion. But I Lost My Body should have been nominated for best picture of the movie of the best picture of the year, and wasn't. So I hope they win for best animated. What is it now? Animated feature film, right? Okay.
Yeah,
they change the categories every time. So yeah.
Well,
and I think we covered them all. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
We did. I was gonna say. The reason why I don't know if you know this, the reason why they made the animated feature category is because Beauty and the Beast, the Disney movie, was nominated for Best Picture back in 1991 for the 92 Oscars, and a lot of people were mad that an animated movie took one of the five Best Picture slots, and so people were mad about that, and so they were like, well, we won't do that then. And so then people that were animated people were like, that's not fair, because if it's one of the best pictures, why can't it be one of the best pictures? Why does it have
right,
to be live
action?
So then they're like, well, then let's just create this best animated feature category. And so now it's becoming harder for animated movies to get nominated for best picture because they've got their own category, more or less. Same with foreign language.
They wanna...
So that's becoming an issue.
Yeah, the language. Yeah, that was another change, right? That best language or foreign language now it's what is it?
Best international.
So go back and forth here. International. Okay, so they changed that. Well, anyways, I think we covered it all. But I do want to thank Spencer, because Spencer has been a trooper. I really appreciate you calling in today. And also, I want to mention that you'll be having your own starring role at the Fringe Festival, right?
I will, yeah. I'm doing a new show. In my fourth year at Fringe, my fourth musical, this one's called Blindish, which is literally, it's my life story. So I'm excited to put that up this year at Hollywood Fringe. So hopefully you'll take a look at
right.
it. Come check it out. My life growing
yeah,
up.
Yeah, we'll have another show just dedicated to that, because I know you already arrived and you're walking to your class, so I don't want to make you any late. But but I do want to thank you, and yeah, sure, we're gonna have more Block Talk Radio. So yeah, just to let people know that are listening, I will please follow the page on Facebook, because I'll be posting now that the office hours and everything, the Hollywood Fringe has started. Not technically, but it's almost there. So we're going to be interviewing people, actors, directors, and producers, whatever, from the Hollywood Fringe Festival. So this will be my last podcast before then. And then we'll continue with another season of Italo's Black Talk Radio. Anyways, any last words that you want to say to the audience before we wrap it up?
Sure. Go see Wonder Park if you haven't seen it. It's actually, don't listen to the reviews. It's actually a really cute, fun movie, which I think is actually a metaphor for depression. So go check it out.
Oh.
That's what I would
say. See? I didn't know that. So I'll check it out too. I haven't seen it. But I haven't seen many movies in the theater, so I need to get out and just do it. All right,
yeah,
Spencer. Well, thank you for calling in. I'm glad that you're back. You're in your parking spot, and hopefully you get to your class on time. All right.
Yeah.
Well, thank you. You're welcome.
See you around.
Thanks for calling in. All right.
Absolutely.
Have a good day.
Bye. You too.
Bye.
Bye.
We are go for liftoff in T-minus 30.
Hit the record button.
See that coming.